I'm kind of lazy. I don't exercise enough. In fact, I don't exercise much at all. I don't eat very well, especially when I'm by myself. I lay in bed at night playing word games on my phone when I should be sleeping. I sit in front of my fireplace with a fire roaring for hours at a time. I do work while I'm sitting there, but I sit there for hours. I'm a little bit lazy. And I've got other bad habits. Early in my life, for example, I developed the habits of pleasing people, of saying what I thought people wanted to hear, of doing what I thought was good, things that would make me look like I was a nice and kind and caring person. It became habitual for me to avoid conflict, acting as though everything was fine when it wasn't, because that was better than arguing. I have developed some bad habits over the course of my life. I compare myself with others. Sometimes it works in my favor when I look at others and see that I'm nowhere near as bad as she is, and I'm actually way better than he is, and I'm so far ahead of where they are that I don't even have to try anymore. Other times the comparisons aren't so favorable, and I end up realizing that I'm actually nowhere near as good as they are. I'm way worse off than he is, and I'm so far behind compared to where she is that I might as well just give up. I'm pretty good at comparing myself with others. And I'm afraid. I'm afraid of not being liked, of being disapproved of disappointing someone. I'm afraid of being rejected. I'm afraid of hurting someone's feelings. I'm afraid of getting in trouble. I've been afraid of a lot of things for a long time. Laziness, bad habits, comparison, fear. These are just some of the things that over the course of my life have kept me from being my true self. Some of the things that have kept me from discovering and then being who God made me to be as fully as I can be. At least as I've come to understand who God made me to be. Jesus, on the other hand, was fully who God made him to be. Jesus knew who he was in his deepest self and what he was about. And he did not let anything keep him from being fully who God made him to be and doing completely what God called him to do. Not laziness, not bad habits, not comparing himself to others, not fear, nothing. Today's passage comes on the heels of Jesus' baptism, right after which, we're told by Luke, the Holy Spirit descended upon him, also maybe depended on him, but descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." Jesus had confirmed for himself in those moments his identity as God's beloved son. Not a bad way to start one's ministry. Lucky duck. God's own voice had declared to Jesus who he was. He knew without a shadow of a doubt who God had made him to be, and he set out to do what God had called him to do. Oops, but wait. First, the devil tried to talk him out of it. And I want to thank Joyce Haven for her depiction of Jesus and the devil and the temptations here. But the devil tried to talk Jesus out of it. He tried to convince Jesus otherwise. The devil tried to lure Jesus away from his true self. And his offers were pretty good, right? Jesus was starving. He hadn't eaten in 40 days. I'm a little bit hungry, and it's only been a couple of hours since I ate. But Jesus was famished, and the devil tempted him with bread. You must be starving. That rock over there looks like a loaf of bread, except it's a rock. But you're God's son. You can change it if you want. Some bread would taste so good right now, wouldn't it? But Jesus knew who he was and what God had called him to do. And he did not let the devil's offer of bread distract him. Then the devil offered him power, thinking it perhaps if he couldn't appeal to Jesus' hunger for food, maybe he could appeal to his hunger for authority and influence. He was the Son of God, after all. He was going to rule the world. Why not just start now, at his own say-so, rather than waiting for God to make it happen? But Jesus knew who he was, knew what God had called him to do, and he did not let the devil's offer of power distract him. So the devil tried once more, trying to provoke Jesus to prove that God was a God of his word, that God was a God who kept her promises, that Jesus was so special to God that God would intervene in some supernatural way to keep Jesus safe. Come on, the devil said. You're God's beloved son. Just jump. You'll be fine. You and I both know that God won't let anything happen to you. But Jesus knew who he was and what God had called him to do, and he did not let the devil's taunting distract him. We, on the other hand, let so many things distract us. We let so many of what might be considered the devil's offers lure us away from fully claiming our identity as God's beloved, because we are no less that than Jesus, no less God's beloved sons, no less God's beloved daughters. God has not called any of us to be the savior of the world, thank goodness for God's good judgment. But God has called each of us God's beloved. That is who we are created to be. That is who we are in our deepest selves. And we continue to be lured away from claiming that identity. We continue to let ourselves be convinced otherwise, whether by laziness or bad habits or comparing or fear or any number of other things. Lent, I think, gives us a chance to pay attention to those things that lure us away from our true selves, and a chance to choose to put them aside, or at least one of them. Lent gives us a chance to pay attention instead to God, to listen for God's voice again, calling us God's beloved. Lent gives us a chance to make some small changes in the hopes of making a big difference. I told you that I would tell you what I gave up for Lent. I gave up my nighttime word puzzles and all the other distractions that come from having my phone in hand until I turn off the light to go to sleep. Every night during Lent, and depending on how it goes, maybe even beyond that, I will be plugging my phone in downstairs at 10 o'clock, and I will not look at it again until after I've had my morning coffee, until after I've made my morning coffee. That seems like a very small thing, but it has already, in just a few days, made a difference. My use of my phone at night after I was already in bed, which most nights is already later than I should be going to sleep, was a distraction. In some ways, keeping me from focusing on my true self. In some ways, albeit small ways, keeping me from becoming more fully who God made me to be. I really do believe that. And so what are the things that are keeping you from being more fully who God made you to be, and from more fully doing what God has called you to do? What are the things that are keeping us as a church from being more fully who God has made us to be and doing more fully what God has called us to do? Some of the things for me, as you've heard me say, have been laziness and bad habits and comparison and fear, just to name a few. What is it for you? What is it for us? Now, this season of Lent is the perfect time to look a little more deeply, if you're willing, if we are willing. Now is the perfect time to make a small change in the hopes of making a big difference. Now is the perfect time for us to become more fully who God made us to be, as individuals and as a church, if we are willing. Dear God, make us willing. Amen.